Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
How important is General Conference to the member of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints? Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. And with me today to discuss this question is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. If you've ever been downtown during the first week in October or the first week in April, you'll probably notice that there's a lot of people and there's a lot of congestion going on down there. Well, that's because the Mormon Church puts on twice a year what's known as their General Conference. They're held twice a year, and they're very important to the Latter-day Saint. In fact, according to the Gospel Principles Manual, the 2009 edition, page 48 says, in addition to these four books of Scripture, that's the topic that's being discussed in this part of the manual, it says the inspired words of our living prophets become Scripture to us. Their words come to us through conferences, the Liahona or Ensign magazines, and instructions to local priesthood leaders. Notice what it said there. Their words come to us through conferences. And that would be speaking, I'm sure, primarily to General Conference that is held twice a year.
Yeah, the Ensign magazine, Bill, in the May edition and November edition are the conference issues. And so those are important magazine issues that we always look at carefully. And then 10th President Joseph Fielding Smith, here's what he said in Answers to Gospel Questions, Volume 2, page 205. It is my humble opinion that we are receiving counsel by inspiration or revelation at every General Conference of the Church. Would it not be wise for the members of the church to pay more heed to these counsels and prepare ourselves for more to come?
And certainly, we, as you had mentioned earlier, we do often cite General Conference messages. In fact, that's a huge bulk of the quotations that I've included in their own words, because we know that Mormons are supposed to take these teachings very seriously. Admittedly, there are some that don't, and there's probably a lot of Latter-day Saints who just kind of look at the General Conference messages and just kind of blow them off as just being another batch of LDS leaders' opinions, but that's not supposed to be the position that they are to take as a member of the LDS Church. 12th President Spencer W. Kimball said this, "Now, as we conclude this General Conference," and the context for this statement was he was speaking specifically of the conference that had taken place in October of 1978. But Kimball went on to say, "Let us all give heed to what was said to us. Let us assume the counsel given applies to us, to me. Let us hearken to those we sustain as prophets and seers, as well as the other brethren, as if our eternal life depended upon it, because it does!" Exclamation point.
Yeah.
"Now, may I make a few further comments to let you know some of my concerns for us as a people who live in such challenging times. May I stress again the value of reading the addresses given at our general conferences in the Ensign magazine." As you'd mentioned, they do print the conference messages twice a year in the month following when those addresses were actually held.
13th President Ezra Taft Benson said, "Our marching orders are for each 6 months are found in the General Conference addresses, which are printed in the Ensign magazine." Once more, May and November,
right.
He's referring to in Teachings of the Ezra Taft Benson, page 335.
Well, in his book, Come Unto Christ, he did write a book called Come Unto Christ, but he gave a message called Come Unto Christ and Be Perfected in Him, which is also found in the Ensign magazine. In May 1988, page 84, that same Ezra Taft Benson said, "For the next 6 months, your conference edition of the Ensign should stand next to your standard works."
Wow.
"And be referred to frequently." So again, folks, these are supposed to be taken very seriously.
14th President Howard W. Hunter said, "Our modern-day prophets have encouraged us to make the reading of the conference editions of the church magazines an important and regular part of our personal study. Thus, general conferences become, in a sense, a supplement to or an extension of the Doctrine and Covenants. He said that in the Church News, October 23, 2004, page 4, under the title, The Prophets Speak.
Well, we should say it was reprinted in 2004 because Howard Hunter, of course, wasn't alive in 2004.
That's true.
but anyway, once again, emphasizing the fact that General Conference messages are to be taken very seriously.
Yep.
Why you're probably wondering, why are we emphasizing this? Is because many times when we talk to Latter-day Saints, they have a tendency that if they disagree with something that was said by a general authority in their own church, they tend to just blow it off as just mere opinion. And many times when we are citing some of the things that these leaders have said in their general conference messages, they don't seem to take it all that seriously. And they're supposed to. They are told to. And that's why we're reading these, because if you're a Christian and you're talking to a Mormon friend, we strongly encourage you to actually look up some of these conference messages and cite them and ask your Mormon friends about some of the stuff that was said in these.
Now, Bill, somebody might say, well, maybe the speakers are just going off the top of their head and they're just coming in with a new message. Is that possible?
Well, it probably was possible years and years ago, but it's not really possible anymore, because even as far as I understand, even all the messages that are given in General Conference today are vetted. In other words, they go through a kind of correlation, just like the manuals.
Yep.
They're checked to make sure that they are speaking what conforms to authoritative sources and such. So to hear someone just go off the wall is probably rare. Can a speaker get off the reservation and start ad-libbing? Oh, I'm sure they probably can. But that's not usually what happens. Although Boyd Packer did say something a while back that was pretty controversial, and they revised it when it was printed later on.
That's true.
It does happen, but it's not something that's very common. George Q. Cannon, this is found in Gospel Truth, Discourses and Writings of President George Q. Cannon, Volume 1, page 329, said this. He said, "Conference addresses are word of the Lord. This church has been continually led by the Spirit of Revelation. The Spirit of Revelation has been here in our conference. The addresses that have been delivered have been made under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, and they are the word of God unto this people, binding upon them. And they will be judged by these words that we have heard. If we do not listen to these instructions and counsels and abide by the word of God, as it is given to us from time to time, we shall be held to a strict accountability." Pretty serious.
Oh, yeah, it is. John Witzo, an apostle, said in Evidences and Reconciliations, page 237, "Such official prophetic utterances to the church are usually made in the great general conferences of the church or in signed statements circulated among the people. The phrase, 'Thus saith the Lord,' may at times be used, but it is not necessary. When the prophet speaks to the people in an official gathering or over a signature, he speaks as the Lord directs him. If a new doctrine or practice be involved in the revelation, it is presented to the people for acceptance in recognition of the free agency of the church itself. But once accepted, it is thereafter binding upon every member."
Now that raises a question, though, Eric, because if it's really coming from the Holy Ghost, as others have said, why does it need to be accepted by the general audience? If the people really have that kind of authority to correct the speaker in the first place, I mean, how do you really know until they've done that if it's really the Holy Ghost talking? Can an individual member really override that? Not likely. And how many Mormons do we know are going to speak against something like that?
Well, and think about Isaiah,
publicly.
Isaiah, Jeremiah, and the other prophets. I mean, they weren't very popular. If they were to take a vote, there are a lot of people who probably would have voted against their words.
Yeah, and it talks about in recognition of the free agency of the church itself. That's kind of a misnomer. Even when they sustain the general authorities in general conference, I don't think a lot of them even believe that there's a lot of freedom to say no to that, and at least to say no and get away with it.
Right.
I mean, that just doesn't seem logical. According to Carlos Assay, in a talk that he gave for the Perfecting of the Saints, A Look at Church Curriculum, this was back in the Ensign magazine, January of 1986, on page 17, he said, "Church publications And then he lists the Ensign, the New Era, the Friend, and the international magazines, which would be the Lahona, are referred to as the voices of the church and the official line of communication from the First Presidency and the Council of the Twelve to the members of the church. Each month, a First Presidency message appears in the Ensign. Home teachers are expected to discuss this article with all assigned families. Quite obviously, the curriculum would become stagnant and lose its relevance if we failed to hear the voices of living prophets. One of the most significant of all church publications is the conference edition of the Ensign magazine. This important issue carries the current written messages of the brethren, conveying the mind and will of the Lord. Included with each conference issue is a chart suggesting how these addresses might be used to enrich courses of study currently in use by the various organizations. So once again, we are being told that that not only are these messages of utmost importance, but they are told where they can actually find where these messages are being taught. So,
Bill, we only have a short time, but what are some of the subjects that have been taught in past general conferences that are unique?
Well, one of the subjects that I like to bring up that I think a lot of Mormons seem to overlook is the fact that Brigham Young taught his Adam God message in a general conference message. It was in April of 1852 when he got up and said, "Hear, O Israel, Jew and Gentile, saint and sinners, when our father Adam came into the Garden of Eden, he brought Eve, one of his wives, with him. He helped make and organize this world." And he goes on to say, "He is our Father and our God and the only God with whom we have to do." Now, we don't have a lot of time to talk about the Adam God doctrine, and that's exactly what Brigham Young called it in that same conference message. In fact, he even made it very clear that you better not treat it lightly or with indifference, because it's going to prove your salvation or damnation. Folks, that was a conference message. So if really they are hearing the mind and the will of the Lord in their conference messages, then shouldn't Brigham Young's Adam God doctrine be considered just as important as some of the other things that have been mentioned in general conference addresses? Again, we don't find very many Mormons leaving the conference building thinking that he just heard a bunch of personal opinions.
Nope.
They usually always will agree that they heard the mind and the will of the Lord that day, and they know that if they are going to be faithful, that they need to take heed to what was said in those messages.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. Have you ever wanted to go to the Holy Land? It's the place where Jesus walked, a place of great significance in our Bibles. In late February of 2013, Mormonism Research Ministry and Utah Lighthouse Ministry are hosting an 11-day trip to Israel. Among other places, we will experience baptism in the Jordan River, walk through Hezekiah's Tunnel, explore Masada, and float in the Dead Sea. During our trip, we plan to spend a day with Israeli resident Joel Kramer, a former Utah pastor and current film producer, who will take us to Cave 1 and Qumran and Jericho as well. In addition, a 7-day pre-extension tour to Turkey is available. Your price includes all transportation, admission fees, meals and taxes, and tips. If you've never been to the Holy Land, or even if you have, join Bill McKeever, Sandra Tanner, and several local Utah pastors for the trip of a lifetime. It all begins February 19th, 2013. Visit theapologeticstudybibletour.com for more information, or call 602-788-8864.